Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk Archetypes with your host, renowned intuitive and author, Roy Solberg.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me today. This is Roy, and we're going to talk archetypes. We have a great show coming up today. Really a great show. Let me give you the number in case you would love to call in. We're doing archetypal readings at the end of the show. You can ask any question you want, either of myself or my guest, Angela Hall. The number is 1-877-296-0345. You know, I don't know about you, but spring has not found Wisconsin yet. We're still in the 30s. Fortunately, we don't have snow, but we are cold. So if you see spring wandering around, would you please give her directions, maybe a GPS or something to borrow so she can find us up here? We'd like to have a little bit of spring before summer gets here. On this month, April 2013, we are going to look at the harmonic combination of body, mind, and spirit. We're going to have a guest each month, or each program, rather, and starting today with the body and Angela Hall. But first I want to talk about a few things. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in this little suburb outside of Memphis. It's called Levi. And the Levi Baptist Church was the mainstay of my community. We went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday prayer meeting. The women's groups would get together in between, and I would go to those with my mom. Vacation Bible School in the summertime. This was our community. This is where we were taught strong Southern Baptist beliefs. And one of the things that I was taught at that time was repeatedly I was told I was the child of God. And I believed them. I mean, I figured that if I were a child of God, then I too was God, right? Because after all, I was his kid. You know, I still believe that. I believe that as a child of the universe or God or creative consciousness or spirit, whatever you want to name it, that we are all one of the energy of spirit. And I think we're born here on earth to find our personal unique way of expressing that true nature of God consciousness. Each of us has the individuality of God consciousness. And it's our job to learn how to express that through the physical body in a physical life. Because let's face it, if you're not happy in the physical world, if you're not happy in your own body, which is a sacred instrument, how can you be happy in the spiritual world? Because if you don't like the known world of your body and the physical world that you live in, how can you like the unknown world that you can't see? Now, of course, unfortunately, we all have lessons here. Some people call it karma. Some people call it lessons. Carolyn Mace calls it Earth School, that we're in here to study and to learn and to figure things out. And I think we're here to explore and get to know and rebalance and harmonize that part of the body, the mind, and the spirit so that they are all working together for our highest good. So this month, I thought it would be great to have each show focus on one of the aspects of the body, mind, and spirit. So as I said, today we're starting with the body. Because if your body is functioning in maximum capacity, then you're good. You know, everything works. It's very difficult to connect to spirit when you are in pain or out of balance with your body. And our guest today, Angela Hall, has put my body back into balance more time than I think either one of us would care to remember. So let me tell you a little bit about Angela. She is a chiropractor. She is the founder of Soul Care in Glendale, Wisconsin. She's going to share ways to make some easy, small changes in your life in order to become healthier. She's had over 20 years experience as a doctor of chiropractic. And what I like about her work is that it's very gentle. There's no, I don't like to be snap, crackled, and popped. I don't know about you, but that's not my, it's not the way I like to have my body treated. So we're going to look at, how's your body? What changes do you want to make? Do you feel 100%? Does your health really affect your relationship to spirit? And if so, how does that affect you living your purpose or your passion? So at this time, I'd like to bring Angela on. Welcome, Angela.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, our joy, our joy. So, as I said, you've kind of put me back together more times than I can count, actually. And
I don't get that many, but go on.
Maybe it just feels that many. So I want you to you have explained to me how keeping the spine supple affects the internal organs. So let's start there, that, you know, the spine is kind of our conduit to spirit. So tell us about how it's works with the inside.
Well, basically the spine houses your spinal cord, which from your spinal cord, all the nerves enter and exit from that point, and then transfers all that information up to your brain.
Okay.
So if part of your spine isn't working as well, because every vertebra in your spine has a normal range of motion, just like if you open and close the door, it has a certain range of motion. Well, if you get a door that's stuck halfway open, you can't get as many things in there as easily versus if the door was all the way open.
Okay.
So basically what chiropractic does, and with keeping the spine in motion, is that now it's allowing all the information from the nerves that are collected, you know, from your kidneys, your liver, intestinal tract, the information has to go out to them. They collect whatever information is going on, whatever that organ is, and comes back so your brain and your body can process what it needs to do to keep it healthy. Because your body always does whatever it can to keep you in balance at all times. That's its whole job all day long. How do I keep everything in balance?
And so what do you suggest to someone like myself who is in the the shadow Olympian, who would rather sit on the couch and dream about exercise rather than get myself up and out the door to take a walk? What do you suggest for those of us like that?
Well, in the shadow Olympian, I have to say that would be my preferred place too.
Would it really?
Would be mine.
Because you're very active. I do triathlons.
I've done two marathons. However, you know, ideally, it's work. It's work to keep it going. And I think it just kind of comes down to, for me, it got to the point of, well, if you're going to keep this moving, and especially if I'm telling patients to keep moving, because that keeps you healthier and keeps oxygen and blood going to all those systems and organs, I have to do it. So, you know, I figure if I'm telling the patients that, I have to be doing it myself. And I found for myself what I needed to do was, okay, what is a motivation for me? What's going to make it fun for me to actually do a workout instead of like, okay, what am I going to do today to move? So for me, I found triathlons because I could already swim. I enjoyed biking. I couldn't really run, but, you know, that was just one of three. I figured I could wing it. But it was really
several a year.
Yes, but it's the motivation. It's the motivation I found. So I think to answer your question, then everyone needs to find that what is going to make what's the motivating thing to get you up and moving. What's fun for you? What would you enjoy doing? Whether you know. Do you need to go to a class? Do you need to have a friend? Do you just need to, you know, talk to yourself and set a time that this is what I'm doing when? And an activity that you like or kind of like. Because the benefits so outweigh sitting on the couch.
So some of the options would be dancing, for one, which is kind of fun, and it moves you. The yoga, tai chi, qigong, those type of fluid movements. So if someone has been very sedentary, not moving much, what would you suggest their options could be? Once they have the motivation to move, but don't quite know what to do.
Well, I think, too, what happens when someone's been sedentary for a long time, then they're just sore doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So even for them, you know, walking isn't necessarily an option.
Right.
So you have to figure out, okay, what could you do? And then also just be aware that whatever you start doing, you're only going to start doing 10 minutes at a time.
Oh, not the full half hour, hour?
You're not going to do the full half hour. You've got to build up to whatever it is.
Okay.
So then there's simple things like if you get one of the big round exercise balls.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit that in front of a TV and sit and bounce on a ball and build up cardiovascular.
Really?
Because
that
exercise.
Sounds like fun. I've done that one, and it is fun.
Yeah, and that's all you have to do. To initially start, you can plop it in front of a TV and just bounce. Your heart rate will go up, and that's all you need to do.
Okay, and then add something else to it.
Yeah, and then you can gradually, you know, do some arm movements or work with that. Or once you start doing that for, say, 6 weeks, you're going to feel better, and then you're going to be able to get out and do something else. And it's going to be easier to do that something else. And then you gradually just build up, you know, how much time you're doing that something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that something else needs to be fun. I mean, there's little trampolines, too, you can get and jump up and down.
Oh, yeah, Yeah, I used to have one of those. So how long would you, if you're in good shape and, you know, you've worked your way up from the bouncing ball, how long should one exercise per day?
Really, 30 minutes, 45 minutes of some sort of cardio would be enough. Or there's so many different facets of weight training that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's high-intensity weight training, which you only have to do once a week. Or
which
there's interval training. Yes, you are doing the
high-intensity. I am doing that with you. So talk a little bit about that, because, you know, obviously this is something that I have started doing with you. I think we're into about 6 weeks, are we not?
Yes,
and
we are.
It's one, I
and you're
love
doing
it
fabulously, by the way.
Thank you. It's one time a week, and it's only for, 15, 20 minutes I've been working out? And I love it because it's quick. And it's I can tell the difference in my, you know, in my muscle. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, basically what it is you lift weights and you maintain good form and you do weights that you take the muscle to a fatigue or failure, which in turn causes the body to give you the cardiovascular benefits as if you did a 30-minute run that day.
Mm-hmm.
But the secret to this is to build muscle, you have to tear down muscle. So the reason you only do it once a week is because you need that week, once you tear it down, to recover, to then stress it again, to break it down, to get it stronger and go again.
And it's working. As I said, we've been doing this 6 weeks. I have. You've been directing me. And I'm definitely feeling stronger. And I'm not exhausted or terribly sore, painfully sore afterwards. So it's for me, it's working all the way around. So that's one option, that you could have a trainer or come into your weight program. Have you noticed the difference in people that you've worked with? I know you have mentored people, young women, correct, who are doing marathons. Do you notice anything different in when their body starts shifting and getting stronger? Have you noticed the difference in how they relate to other parts of their lives?
Well, I think too, just all in all, not only as they get stronger, as you feel better, then the stresses of life don't affect you as much, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're calmer, they're at a different level versus, because the women that I started working with initially pretty much were all in that range. They had children that were 7, 8 years old, doing a job or a part-time job along with the children.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pretty stressed out. And for them, as they got stronger, I could see that stress shift out of their bodies,
mm-hmm.
and out of their being.
Well, I know that when there are certain exercises, especially in like Pilates, where you are exercising all the different energy centers of your body, you know, the grounding, first chakra, the second, the third, and the third is who I am in the world, how I express myself, all the way up to, you know, the speaking up and thinking clearly. So it's quite interesting to see the relationship from my point of view with the spirit and the strength of the physical body. Because like I said in the opening, if we can't be content and feel grounded in our physical world, how do we expect to feel that in our spiritual world? So, and I know you do yoga, correct?
Yes, probably 3 times a week.
And how did that change you when you haven't always done yoga, have you?
I've just been doing yoga probably the last 15 years.
Uh-huh.
And so
what's the difference between doing yoga and not? And
well, I think if you're actually practicing yoga in the manner in which it was set up, which
mm-hmm.
is to get strong enough to be able to sit and meditate.
Ah.
That's why you do the hatha postures, is so you can build up strength so that your body's strong enough to meditate. And also, as you're doing the practice, to be aware of your body and really kind of sense, like, what's going on where.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
most illnesses or injuries, you've been getting signals for a very long time before you actually get that pain crisis mode.
Hmm.
So doing yoga and then not using yoga as your workout, but actually using yoga as it's intended to connect with yourself and to check in and what's going on has really been huge for me.
Yeah. Wow.
I know even when I'm running now, I can have, like, say, a quadricep start tightening up. And
mm-hmm.
from my practice of yoga, I can typically think it loose. I don't have
really?
To stop and stretch it out.
Uh-huh.
But I also know if I don't get it thought loose, I do have to stop and stretch it out.
So you're yoga gives you a more of a sensory balance, it sounds like, more of a harmonious, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, just that
it
sensory.
It kind of gives you like a really, a connection with your body, a real connection and being aware of what's going on in your body
and you
noticing
think,
those subtle shifts.
Do you think that with that you're more comfortable in the physical world? In general?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So yoga would definitely be a recommended process for getting into your body and sensoring and just being comfortable with your body. I think so many women, especially, I don't know about men, but especially women are having such trouble with body identity and who they are and not being comfortable with who they are in their physical form. Do you find that in your
practice? I would say yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely say yes to that.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's, you know, partly, you know, our culture and the advertising.
Yes, yeah, obviously, yeah, with all the photoshopping that one can do to.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty extreme, pretty extreme. And when we are in that where we are not comfortable, and I think, You know, when I grew up, I think most of my friends, you know, hated their bodies. I don't know if that's still prevalent with the young people today.
Well, I think it is. Just look at the amount of plastic surgery that gets done and liposuction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's so many altering body techniques out there. Instead of like,
mm-hmm.
wow, you have heavy thighs. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It works beautifully for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, are you healthy? That's the big thing. Not your thighs are, you know, too big or stomach or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people get past the visual body versus how healthy are you?
Yes.
Because
well,
I've treated a lot of skinny women who really are just all fat. There's no
yeah.
bone.
Oh.
And the muscle is gone. They're just like teeny. It's so they fit the insurance profile of healthy.
Uh-huh.
But they're probably the most unhealthy group I work on.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? Because we do look at the outside and think, oh, she must have everything.
Yeah. And look how skinny she is. She fits the height, weight
yeah.
proportion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she can't pick up 10 pounds.
So what change is it, when someone like that comes into you, what changes do you suggest to make them feel, you know, better and healthier and to get healthier and to just kind of have a body that they feel 100% content in or at home in?
Well, I think the first thing that I've noticed over the years, pretty much across the board when they come in, is they are not connected to their bodies at all. They
mm-hmm.
have no idea what hurt, you know, how it started, when it started, or that they could do anything about it.
Interesting. Well,
so
I was there.
Initially,
I think...
You what?
Go ahead. I was going to say, you're in about, oh, I don't know, 19, 20 years ago, I had a back injury. And I went to through different modalities, including chiropractic and acupuncture and stuff. But I was so out of touch with my body that I couldn't even bring my shoulder blades down. It was like, shoulder blades? Where are they? Somewhere back there. But I was one of those people that you're talking about. I was completely out of touch with the physical body. And it
yes.
took a severe injury to bring me back into it and start taking care of myself.
And that's what I tell a lot of people, too, that come in with injuries. I said, you know what? You are so much better off right now for having this injury because now you really can consciously think how you twist, how you bend, how
mm-hmm.
you move, what you feel. And you weren't doing
yeah.
that before.
Exactly. I mean, that was true for me. That was absolutely true for me. And I think everybody should have to go through the body mechanics class, learning how to lift and pick things up, get up, that type of thing. It was
yeah,
quite informative.
Because obviously, I think the number percent is 80% of the population is going to have some back pain in their life.
Yeah.
So I can only think there was a design flaw. So we have to take the class on how to use and work around this flaw.
Yes. And one of our conversations through our exercise class was that you were talking about the body is the house we live in. I love that analogy. Would you talk a little bit about where we live?
Well, I think one of the interesting things I find, too, when people come in is they're, you know, I'll go back. Like my range from patients, my biggest group is probably that 35 to 65.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting when I have a 45-year-old, say, comes in and they're like, well, I've never had this pain before, and I've done this activity many, many times, but I've never had this before. And so I'm like, well, but, A, you don't have the same body, and there's always maintenance involved with any or the house analogy is, if you have a new house, you don't have much work to do on it. You move in, everything's done, everything moves well. But 10 years down the line, you're replacing a hot water heater. You're maybe putting new gutters on. There's always maintenance, and the older the house gets, the more maintenance is required. And so I just look at my body that way. I'm going to be 54 this year, and I'm getting a lot more maintenance than I did at 24.
And but, so am I, and I'm quite a few years older than you are, and I thank goodness.
But honestly, I can still, I mean, I don't feel that much different than I was when I was 24. The only difference is I'm getting maintenance a lot.
Yes, yes. A lot more frequently for me.
Yes. And,
oh,
and that's what
goodness.
It is, and it's just a natural occurrence. I mean, that is what, it, for anything, the older it is, the more maintenance it takes. And so saying that, well, I never had that before, this issue didn't come up, it's like, yeah, that's right. The house didn't have the gutters fall off either.
And it used to be that when we reached 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever, people stopped exercising. And now it is, it's never too late. And, you know, it, you keep moving. And we have 80-year-olds that are out there, you know, running marathons.
Yes.
So.
I mean, you can build muscle at any age. At any age, you can build muscle. All you have to do is put an appropriate resistance for you.
I love that. My dear, we're running out of time. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And I want to tell people how to get in touch with you. Your phone number is 414-963-1388. And can they email you at the Soul Care Wisconsin?
They can email, yeah, at the website, or our email is soulcare@gmail.com.
Okay. And the
either
website is soulcare, www.soulcarewisconsin.com. And you also have, I want to get this in, because you have great classes there. You have yoga classes. You have the chiropractor. And what else do you, acupuncture?
Well, we have Nia classes and Qigong.
Uh-huh.
And the chiropractic, acupuncture, weight training,
and I
Feldenkrais and cranial sacral.
And I have been known to pop in and do work there on occasion.
Yes, you have.
Angela,
in fact,
thank
I'm trying
you
to
so
set
much.
Some appointments up for you. So,
all right.
Well, thank you.
You take care.
So it was fun. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So there we have the first section of getting your body in shape, because as I said, if we're not in harmony with our body, how can we be in harmony with the mind and our spirit? And our spirit talks to us through this body. It comes to us through our breath. It comes to us through our intuition, which is part of the mind process. It's just all one big group that is taking place inside of us. So if you are finding it difficult to live with your purpose and your passion and create that purpose and passion, then let's start with the body. So take a walk, bounce on that ball. I tell you, it is fun. I have done that. Call Angela, or if you're not in the area, find a good chiropractor who is gentle. Make sure that it's gentle. This body is sacred. And let's take good care of it. So until next week, when we have Christina Gallagher, who's going to be our guest, and we're going to talk about the mind. We're going to talk. She has Navigating Wisdom. Christina has been our guest before. Wonderful gal who lives in Hawaii, and I wish she would send some of that warmth over here. We would appreciate it. So until then, I am sending you all sorts of blessings. May only good come to you. May only good go from you, for so it is.